that truly, truly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. Therefore, they said to him, what shall we do, that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And that's the work of God for us, that we might believe in him whom he has sent. And I was even thinking about that, and I've shared this kind of thing before, but the Lord is always prompting me in this. When I pray, to pray what he's teaching me. So I need new manna. I don't mean new like I've never heard it before, but new today. Manna today, to feed what will look like Jesus and that will draw me to work the works of God. And that's faith. And faith is wrapped all up in Jesus, because he's both our source of the original faith and our source for our day in, day out walking with him. So let's remember that. And with that, we will start with all of us look at John 1, because you all have that. And as I wrote on the thing, that's the first place that see John talking about the Son of Man. John is an interesting thing.
John 1:1.
He's interesting because what do you do?
You might come up with a whole bunch of different lessons.
It actually is fun. I just never have the time that I would like. Okay, so let's read John 1:44-51. And for all of you that should, those of you who have it should be your first page, and those of you who don't,
we have
look. John 1:44-51. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, and he said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, how can any good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. That's the best answer of all. When anybody has a question, come and see. And then you get to be a witness of Jesus. In this case, Jesus was there. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no deceit. And it's also written guile in other versions. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, none of us know what that means. That's between Jesus and Philip. When he said it, Philip knew exactly what he was talking about. I'm guessing he was praying something and talking to God about something. But that was Jesus' answer to him. And Nathanael said, because his response is not something I would think you would have unless you had a conversation going. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I say to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you that you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, as some of you are going to come up to those words, ascending and descending, notice which comes first.
Ascending.
It is not always ascending.
Oh, I see.
But who's he talking about here? The angels of God. Where did they come from?
Heaven.
Why are they ascending? Where are they ascending from?
Earth. They've been
ascending from earth and descending on the Son of Man. Okay, so this is the first time we see in John the word Son of Man. What did you learn about the Son of Man here? Anybody can answer this. Just start with verse 51, those of you who are here, think I'm waiting for great something or others.
It angels are ascending and descending on him.
The angels will be ascending and descending on him. And he said even what else before that. That's just part of the thing. But
Nathaniel will see the heavens opened.
That heavens will open and the angels of God ascending and descending. That, to me, can be a little confusing because it says the heavens opened and the angels of God ascended. So where did they ascend?
To heaven.
To heaven, and then where did they descend from?
From heaven.
From heaven on the Son of Man. What was that supposed to teach these people?
That they're
about Jesus.
That he's, they're his servant. They're his servant.
They are, but what does that say about Jesus?
That he's Son of God.
He's Son of Man.
Because how? How does that show that? And it actually is a sentence here, but how does it show that? You're on the right track. Just be able to prove it. Because, yeah.
Who else because has this. Angels ascending and descending?
Exactly. He did this. So he's showing the people who are looking where the power, the everything comes from is this way to Jesus, and then they ascended to heaven, so they watched the angels ascend, and then they saw them descend on the Son of Man. Where else have they seen that in the Gospels? Not in John, but where else have, obviously we started kind of late to see
Jacob's ladder.
Pardon?
Jacob's ladder.
We did see it in Jacob's letter, and it would be interesting. I was going to look that up, and I just ran out of time, but it would be interesting to see what the ascending-descending statements are. But that is what it said, and it was the angels, actually, who were ascending and descending there.
Well, that's what they're doing here.
So what are they? Well, I don't know the order. That's what I'm saying. I didn't look it up, so.
But they're still, that's the angels doing it.
Right.
Both places.
But they were doing it for a different reason. So you may want to observe what the different reason was.
Well, the angel of the Lord was there wrestling with.
Right. So let's come back to the New Testament. But you are absolutely right, Bonnie.
The gospel.
Where in the life of Jesus?
Well, his baptism.
Baptism.
Right.
And that's exactly the first time they see that, and then God says at the end.
That was the dove, right?
The
Spirit Father
spoke.
That's like a
heavens was open, if that's what you mean.
Right. And then the dove descended upon Jesus, and God said,
"This is my beloved,
son.
In whom I am well pleased." So we see this from God as a giving his credence to what this is. And he just called him who in the other verses? The Son. Here, he doesn't say anything, but we do see the angels ascending and descending. And with that, we want to pay attention to what the angels are specifically going to be doing from Jesus. Because there is, I don't know why I never picked this up before, but as I studied this for the last couple of days, I saw something different than I'd seen. I think I probably could have quoted it, but I really wasn't paying attention to it. So, but just you and the verses you have, pay attention to that and see if we can come up with something. In verse 51 is used here. Why is, in verse 50, this statement is called greater? So verse 50 said, Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And then he talks about the opening of the heavens and the angels ascending and descending. Why is that greater? What was
the
first?
A faith.
It gave a face to the...
No, faith.
Faith. I'm asking all of you to throw ideas in. It says, do you believe... You will see greater things than these. And what did he just...
Right, he believed. That would be faith,
it
too.
It would be.
Well, basically he's saying, I saw you under the fig tree, and that seems to be a big deal to you, but there's angels coming and going here.
Hello. This is just temporal. That's his right. And I think that's part of it. He's saying, you had faith that I answered, but that's still sight. in a sense that that's looking at a sign. We're going to see, and one of you has this specifically, but the signs on one, and I gave the verses in it, but in one verse it says, why do you need signs, basically? And then in another verse he says, why do you not believe the signs I give you? So he talks about signs, almost seems antithetical, and it's not if you pay attention to it. So I gave you the verses to look up. So with that, I'm going to say, get to it, and I'm giving you a half an hour. Some of you, like I said, will be done right away, and most of you won't.
So what do you want us to do?
I want you to do the part that comes after one.
So the questions?
Your questions we just did. So you're doing, what's your verse, what's your next chapter?
John 5, but there's question number 2 that you didn't answer.
We did. What does your 2 say?
How does being the Son of Man give him the right to execute judgment according to the verses below? Oh, that's for the next one.
For the next one, right.
Oh,
okay.
Got it. Sorry.
All right. No, that's okay. And that's where you start with your next verses. And if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, just ask me and I'll make sure you're on the right target.
Alrighty.
So we're going to do Matthew at the end.
Yeah, we're doing Matthew at the end. You just start with your Revelation.
Okay, we're starting with Revelation.
Whoopee. What do you mean, whoopee?
Are you grading it?
Do we have to turn it in?
No, I never want to see anything.
Do I need to flip there, or is this?
This is it.
This is for discussion.
And then here's a question.
You know, if I ask you, for instance, tell me how to prepare dye, we're going to take wool and dye it. And then I say to you, so tell me how to do it.
One life.
I haven't given you any way to learn about it.
Well, that's the difference.
Right? So we have a discussion of the same year.
Difference from
one life.
I can guess. See, this is just going back to my high school years. You know, I have to turn this in. I
guess. No, nobody turns anything in. This is for you.
Not multiple choice. Essay question.
I know.
Anyway, I got your brother a little part of the tribulation.
It's multiple choice. I will say.
Then you start to doubt.
Yeah. Well, no, one line.
That's the verse that has
every
one line.
Every single answer that could be correct.
Oh, then.
And I could analyze it and write it all down.
That just means they
have done it.
Okay, let's go up here and start with
that. So,
here he is.
And he jumped and screwed
it. Then you just write, was this one is yes because it is. This one is yes. I think I know.
And I'm going to be higher.
I don't do good at the essay test, obviously, to
Ephesus and to Smyrna.
I need a little help, see, but I would do the essay
test.
I can see where this could be.
Then I turned to see the voice.
Dr. Mitchell only did those.
The voice that was speaking to
him.
Why do you make it hard? That's what I would hear.
Golden lamp stand.
Not easy for the people.
Middle of the lamp.
Teachers, he really
I saw one light.
Which is weird. But
not the Son of Man, but one like the Son of Man. Clothed in a robe reaching
and if
to the feet and girded across his
chest
with a gold staff. This is describing
yeah,
one
I'm
like
hearing
the
everything,
Son of Man.
And it doesn't even mean.
Well, I don't think that's a false teacher. That's either Jesus or
it's an incarnation. We want to know what's the difference between the Son of Man and one like the Son of Man.
Maybe a 2 before he saw the revelation.
Well, let's go. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write these things which you've seen and these things which are and things which will take place. As for the mystery, they're the seven stars.
Right, they're the seven
angels.
Churches. Oh, yeah. Angels of the seven churches.
And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. How is
okay,
the
Son
of Man
different? Golden, okay, the seven stars are the angels, and the seven churches are the lampstands. Okay.
Seven golden lampstands.
You may want to start that, guys, by reading your questions and then go back at my...
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how...
Just start with your questions.
Is the Son of Man different?
the only thing I can think of is he's not yet been revealed. So Revelation he is revealed
right.
when he comes.
By a loan testimony,
so we don't see him until then.
How as is the Son of Man different? That's the word I'm looking at. From the one like the Son of Man.
This is the Son of Man first, and then this is him revealed.
Let's read the question.
But did you learn about one like the Son of Man in Revelation?
It's Revelation. Did you have like the first page, but you're missing out?
No, we have that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see the voice. So, was the Son of Man the voice?
Oh, yeah.
We're sharing. Oh, you only need one. You don't. Okay. They were supposed to get an next one. Did you get an next one?
No.
Well, then he speaks of himself in the first person.
Yeah, okay.
He says, I am the first and the last, but there is no one else but him.
That's 13, too. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, everything
else. Yeah,
so we have 5 points.
Go ahead. So turning the
I don't know.
You know what it means? It means I double printed.
Maybe we get a clue, yes.
Okay. Well,
his hair, head, and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like the flame of fire. His feet were burnished bronze. So his wings floated as big as like the sun of many waters. In his right hand, he held the 7 stars.
In fact, talking about John.
And his mouth came a sharp,
two-edged sword.
The word.
His face was like the sun.
Well, we know the two-edged sword is the word of God.
Yeah.
And who is the word? Jesus.
Well, yeah.
I do testify about.
So his description.
So this was.
I always thought that was Jesus, but that guess I'm not supposed to think of that.
So his actions are showing that he was right. The Father said, "But he sent me has also testified me."
Isn't also the Spirit called the sword also, dividing our soul?
Here, see verse.
Two-edged sword.
Oh. Now that he testified with me,
did I go? Son of Man is different from the Son of Man, like the Son of Man.
You do not have his word abiding with you, do not believe
it. That's a good
this one, as I'm thinking about it, the Son of Man is in the flesh. This one is in the spirit.
In Jesus, so that's why he is abiding with
this glorified,
revealed, yes, which no one has seen him yet that way because Father has sent him that way.
They like they know the word by heart.
Just trying to leave it out. This is
what's
in
her. Well, I think it is knowing those things is going to make her life glorified.
Yeah. Glorified.
Right, and they thought that eternal life was wrapped up. Eternal, I think that's important. They thought that that was wrapped up in the scriptures.
That's the only difference I can say. This is when he's in the flesh. And this is when he's glorified.
They missed it. Because the scriptures
could be wrong.
Testify
okay.
Missed him.
I could wait.
Like,
what do we learn that? Fiery lump of coal that touched my heart, my mind, my brain, my mouth, and make me whole in him, and then things I will understand.
The Lord, just give me a brain.
So there you go. So
that I can.
What do we learn
about
this
one? First, they don't believe. Well, we can do the description of.
Okay. Isn't that the same question twice?
No.
Oh, that was what's different.
This is what do we learn about him? Well, we learn about him that his head and hair were white,
and he's sharp and two-edged. Hmm.
Like wool, like snow.
I think so.
And Yeah. Eyes were like a flame of fire.
John was sure he loved him.
Yeah, you don't have to look at this.
He was. Feet were burnished bronze.
And a golden sandal.
Well, that's not describing him. It's describing what he had then.
His clothes.
Yeah. Glowed like.
The voice was like the sound of many waters.
Yeah.
How can you believe when you seek glory from one another and you do not seek the glory? So they're not seeking, you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. That's it.
Face was like the sun shining in us.
We're seeking it from man, not God.
That's
from
right.
Moses. Do you remember why?
No, there's only
that.
One end. In his strength.
See, Moses. Right, Moses gave the law, and they thought if they obeyed the law, see, they knew
right
the scriptures,
hand.
Right? And so. Yeah, Moses gave, well, he gave them the law. It came through Moses. He actually got the law.
Right, and
commandments. But Moses gave the law. And so they're trusting in the law. They're trusting in Moses. And they've set their hope on that.
You know what?
So their hope
now, does it say anything about all the churches being in his hands?
False hope.
Well, this is because to the seven churches so
that, so far, so it's not talking about us.
I think you can't
about this point.
But it does say that Jesus, if we have, you know, we abide in Him,
if somebody's not hungry,
then
not
He
eat.
So abides really in us. I was just thinking, other scripture.
Yeah, He is the.
But this part here is really important.
You don't need anything. You're not going to
well, because he's passing judgment on the seventh church.
If you believe Moses,
you
word.
Want to read the letters.
About me. Mm.
Okay.
But
God describes him, so that's what words. That's where we'll
spirit. So even though they
stop
said,
on that one.
So I think this one would be six.
And that's the clothing.
Do not believe his writings. They would say they did because they knew the Bible, and they were trusting in all of the law and their performance.
Okay, what does verse 19 tell us about
really
the book of Revelation?
Because if you did, you would believe because they wrote about
well, you just said it.
Write so these things that you have seen.
See, what did you call that? They're deluded.
And the things which are.
They are.
And the things which will
aware,
take place.
They really aren't. Divine.
Yeah. What does it tell us about the book of Revelation, Maddie? Includes things you have seen.
They think they have something they don't even have.
Yeah.
They are faithless.
And the U is John. Things which are.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you think about it.
And things which will take
place. We can do the same thing. We can memorize great portions of scripture. We can analyze. We can categorize.
All six.
Do all those things. And then we walk away. And our lives are different. So when I'm reading the Bible every day now, I'm taking 3 minutes.
Okay.
Praying today or being today?
Not the book. Just word that in it and hold things.
Good thing to read. It's like he's saying, they're doing all that.
That's why we have a blessing.
Okay.
look for words of their
blessing to know and read the book.
Yeah, and the fact that we're beyond this, the ones then didn't have this. So we're really blessed to have this written for us. That we can.
I write testimony everywhere you see it.
Indeed, it's a revelation for us.
Yeah. And as we did when we studied the book of Revelation,
yep.
When Dan was doing it, we realized Jesus is the lampstand. Got quiet all of a sudden.
And that's where we stop?
Yeah, we stop with just questions one, or do we go on?
Go on until you're done. You have a lot more than anybody else did, Grace. That's why I put two of you on it, and I told you you wouldn't finish.
She's trying to make us feel better now.
No, I did. That's what I did that with. I debated with those last verses because they fit with what we're studying, but they didn't really fit any other place to put them.
Okay, so now we got to do, what was the Son of Man
doing?
Like?
What's he doing?
In 14:20.
Filled a white cloud and sitting on the cloud was the one like the Son of Man.
For those of you who have two of you on a paper, if you want a copy of what you won't get when you go home, text.
So he was sitting on a cloud.
And I'll send it to you.
That counts. Had a golden crown. Is that a doing? He's wearing.
And a sharp sickle.
And then another angel came with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud and said, put in your sickle. So he's reaping. I guess this all describes reaping. So he's reaping. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle to the earth, and the earth was reaped. He's reaped. Reaping. So. He will have a temple which is in heaven, and also had a sharp sickle, and this one has power over fire. Came out from the altar and he called. But I don't know, this is another angel. So this is
a lot about belief in there.
So that's another angel. He called with a voice to him who had the sickle and said, put in your sharp sickle and gather clusters from the vine, the grapes are ripe.
Okay, so he was reaping. So one thing would be he's reaping.
Okay. Doing a lot of reaping.
Gathering the clusters from the vines.
Gather clusters from the grapes are ripe. Now, is he up here reaping? Well, no, because it doesn't say anything about casting in a fire, does it?
No, no.
Okay.
That angel
Called
out to the loud voice who had this sickle and said, put in your sickle and gather clusters. So he reaps, he gathers.
Okay.
Clusters.
And then he does the wine press.
Wait a minute, let's make sure it's. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the grapes.
The wine press was trodden at the city and one came out after the horse's bridles for a distance of 200 miles. So, okay, so that's the angel. So now we go to the next page, right? So far, all I see is a reading.
Well, let's see now.
We're stuck doing. That's the end of that.
The angels were gathering. Gathering. The clusters.
Well, the clusters are supposed to be the fruit. But then there's what they throw in. It doesn't sound like fruit, though.
They have cast in. Now, let's just wait and see. Put them. The grape. The wine press. I think this is judgment.
Mm-hmm. It is, because it, that's what... the grapes are blood up to the distance of 200 miles.
And so this is what the wine press is.
Yes. Yeah.
The wrath of God. So this is definitely judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we know that Jesus comes to judge.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the judge.
I think we figured that one. First of all, he swung his sickle, gathered the clusters, and threw them into our great wine press. And this is the result up to the bridal forces. This is the Battle of Armageddon life, where this. Okay.
Okay.
So now we have cross references. How do these verses compare with Revelation 1? Okay. Above the expanse, there was over their heads. That was over their heads. It was something researching, resembling the throne, like lapis lazuli. You should probably see that in your appearance. Is that a bright clear blue?
That's a dark blue. Lapis is a dark blue.
And
I don't know what lazuli is, but I'm assuming it's the same.
Well, it's called lapis lazuli. That's one.
Yeah.
And on that, which resembled a throne, high up, there was a figure
that was
with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed the appearance, from the appearance on his loins and upward, something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around the zenith, that being bronze.
Exactly.
And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the stars of the radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my voice and heard a face and heard a voice speaking. Okay, here we get the Greek.
What was Isaiah reporting this
time? So maybe just parentheses around testify of me.
Lord, who believed our report?
How do they? Well, for one thing.
Do you have a Bible with you?
I know.
I do, but I don't know if it does cross references. Yeah. It's so weird. The Bible.
The view of the
Bible.
He mentioned on the side my appearance in addition derived from the verb meaning to see is now meaning the same shades of meaning as the appearance of the object which is seen. The face being
part of
which is
the supernatural vision, the ability to see the stirring of the shining light of fire.
Or of light.
So now we have his description, which is similar to the other one in that.
51.1.
This is really tough for me. I don't know if I can answer this.
Well, we're going to, that just gives us a definition. So then I know to
testify. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the glowing eyes.
That's what I'm going to put. The appearance. I noticed from the appearance he's going upward. Something like metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins downward, something like fire. And there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow is in the clouds. So was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. So the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So how do they compare?
I was going to say, I don't have that exact answer. Except that they compare. They sound radiant.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
you know, flaming, yeah. Radiant. We're going to know him when we see him.
It's the glorified the appearance.
Yeah, I'm ready to run and get me coffee.
Oh, do they have some?
Yeah, it looks like it.
What's on?
What's on? You like yours black?
No, I'll get it.
Oh.
I'm just going to put the appearance of the glorified Lord, which is in both of them.
Okay.
Another page. You want your coffee first?
Well, how much is left? One page. That's finished. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, God, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. The kingdom that everybody wasn't looking for, that was Jewish. This is it. Praise God. And he brings even us into this. So.
Well, it's probably not just from Brandon.
Glory and a kingdom.
Where's our question? Was there a question attached to that one?
Oh. And then the last one we have to say, how does this compare?
When he has spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord with such a... For how... Am I saying it wrong?
For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such...
As
my
Lord.
Okay. As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. So, this is the same thing. This resembled a human being as a son of man.
Isn't it? In the vine, we can do nothing. We need him.
Away from...
And I have to admit, it reminds me of the song that someone wrote recently. What do I know about
that? We can only begin.
It's an environment.
I think that's one of the things about praying that really hits me. I'm praying to God, and yet I am so unworthy, and I can't. God
has already done it.
I know, but what I'm saying is, in speaking to him, I know what I am.
Yeah.
I ain't there yet.
But he sees us. That what always helps me is, but he sees us through the blood of Christ. He sees us covered with Christ's blood.
And he knew us before.
He knew us before. He knows us now. He knows we're saved. So, saved by grace. And that's what helps us, because we're saved by grace. Through his mercy. Jesus.
The pastor can't say it. Your little paper, he sent us an email.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest gift.
Yeah,
I keep trying to remember every little dot he did. I have it in my other Bible. I tucked it away. I says, I'm keeping that.
Yeah, I kept it too. I've been lying it for years. God's blind.
The works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, so he accomplishes the works of the Father in him.
What? Where are you? Did you see anything from there?
The book?
They say that it went all the way to Europe and went around that whole band.
Really?
That it made breathing hard in places like Paris and London and
Yeah, it was crazy.
What was that? When Mount St. Helens blew up.
Oh, yeah. I was living in Pennsylvania at the time, and we got ash there.
Yeah.
It was on our cars and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, this is weird. That was all the way in Washington.
Well, see, it hasn't gone to us in our generation, so we don't think of it. But when like, Vesuvius blew up, there's lots of ash of it over here. And
yeah.
You know, we weren't there, so we didn't know. I can't imagine what that was.
Left that on while we studied.
Yeah.
So you're going to get to listen to everybody.
No, does anyone want more coffee?
Have her take, and I'm fine. Have her take out that half an hour.
Ooh.
How
do you do that?
We're
not putting it online. Connie will put it online. She listened to that first one. So we're going to take out that first half hour, or nobody will listen to the end, which is the most important part of the class. She'll understand. Just tell her. Turn it off. There.
She'll hear it right now.
Hey, how are you, Bonnie? You're having an interesting class today, and you missed it. Hope you're having a good time with your mom.
Where's she at?
She's in Texas. She visits her mom once a year for a little over a week, and I think her sister's down there too. So that's this time. And it's actually a good time because we're at the end of our class. Next week, remember, we're going to finish up. I'm going to do some more work on the board together, just like a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes together, and then the rest of it we'll have a potluck. So a salad potluck, a...
Say what?
Salad, yeah. Salad.
No, the part before that, all of a sudden I heard the word potluck. I'm a little delayed. Huh? It's the last one. Do we always have potlucks on the last one?
We don't always, but we've tried to. I try and do that because it's really a time where you can talk with each other without having that format. And you know, when we have, like, our beloved sister isn't here any other time, she needs to have some fellowship with y'all.
Yeah.
So that will be next week. And then next week we should have the books for the next class. And
when
if we
does that start?
Pardon? That will start the week after.
Oh, okay.
So did Joy say anything about last time I talked to her? She said, no, don't give me money now. Does she?
Oh, you give money when she gives it to you.
When she hands you the book, you hand her the money.
The reason there's not going to be any break, I've had so many breaks in half of the class, is like, because we're going to have 19 start that next class. They haven't done anything for months. So
we should make them do something.
Yeah, we should. Let's come up with some homework. Outline the entire New Testament.
Yeah.
Before you get to come back.
Why you
are you talking to Kim and
Not recently.
I love that. Who did that?
Rami.
Well, they have moved.
Yeah. Bring somebody.
Where did it come from?
Steve, the guy that's an elder? Or Dick?
Maybe
one or his
wife. They're supposed to be in Warm Beach. Because like, they had a guy come who actually can drive them, set it up, and did it for them. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is supposed to be a traveling thing.
Yeah.
But they don't have a truck yet. So. Okay. So, how'd you do?
Terrible.
we did it.
Terrible, unless I checked it and marked it and graded it.
I haven't got anything off the paper. I started reading all the...
Yeah.
What did I give you?
Well, I was doing that John.
Which John, though? John what? Everybody had different ones.
Yeah. Oh. John.
Oh,
I'll come back here.
That's John.
John 1.
Okay, we were supposed to have done that together, so you weren't supposed to have to do that one.
Oh.
So I will call on...
I was having fun doing it, though.
That's fine. That's what it's all about, having fun.
Yeah.
Who has John 3?
I have John 1.
Somebody has John 3.
I don't have it.
Well, I have.
We don't.
We have Revelation.
Well, I keep looking for something. Because you keep saying, who has it?
I have
John 3.
And John 8.
So don't worry about it, guys.
I want to.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do this summer. Well, because I'm really at this point debating when we stop class for the summer. Our next class is, that's why I'm having you meet right away, because our next class is 5 weeks, which kind of throws us into the middle of May, and then I don't know how long the next one is, so we'll find out.
Middle of May.
But what I usually like to do is finish before June is up. What?
You know what? I've got jury duty in May.
And I have
That's
a
okay. Wait, do you know how to get onto the church's website on the internet?
No.
Yeah,
I'll have to
we'll
go and
find
it. We'll
have to do another one of those with y'all. It's really pretty easy.
When in May are you starting? Because on May 11th.
No, I'm not starting in May. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm starting the week after
out all 3 days.
Okay, May 11th to 14th.
Like 12
I can't teach a class waiting for everybody to be here, but it ain't going to happen. Obviously, you can't. One week we'll have a huge class, and next week we have a dilapidated.
I was just curious if maybe we'd be done by then.
I always think it's funny how when doctors give doctor's appointments, it seems to only be on Wednesdays. They give appointments.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's a catch-up day or something. Okay, who has John 3? Okay, what I want first. So we went over and over and over it, Leela. Would you tell us in chapter 1 what it teaches us about the Son of Man? Because that's our basic topic. And our basic topic, you find lots of other little topics we could study. In fact, that's how I generally go into my next topic that I'm studying. But what to,
Not John 1. I went John 8. That's what I said.
Okay. So the rest John of you 8. All did John 1, which we all did together.
Yeah.
What do we learn about the Son of Man in John 1? And it's verse 51.
Okay.
The prophets wrote about him. 51. Just look at chapter 1, 51.
Chapter 1, 51.
You'll see the heavens opened.
Okay, so
the heavens opened. Right.
Angels of God ascending and descending.
But they don't mean anything differently. Whenever I see a long phrase, I'll shorten it to God's angels instead of the angel of God. It's just easier to write. So that's the first one. Now, on 3, first question I want to ask is, and I'll ask this of all of you, what did we learn about the Son of Man? And that should be verse 13 and 14.
Oh.
Not if you don't have it. This is not for everybody. This is for who has John 3. Is that you?
Jesus.
Bonnie? Yeah. Okay. I don't get that. John 9 through 15 says so.
John
3, 9 through 15. And you have those down here. So why
well,
just
it's because
13
and 14 have it specifically. What is it specifically saying, 13 and 14?
No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man.
So we have the angels ascending and descending, and they descended on Jesus, but what do we know about Jesus?
He descended and ascended.
He ascended into heaven. No one
descended
from heaven.
Yeah.
From heaven.
What does that tell us? If you're a Pharisee and you're listening to that, what is he telling you?
He
about
came
himself?
From.
He's God. He's been to heaven. He's come from heaven,
and that's where he comes from.
Right.
Yeah. He's not like the rest of us. We weren't little spirit people sitting there. The Mormons teach that there are little spirit people before they're born, and they would probably use a verse like that. So just understand, that is not what this verse is saying, because it's in the context of verse 12 that says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one. They always miss these first parts of these verses, you know. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven.
Would some of them believe that, okay, maybe he's an angel?
Oh, yeah.
Rather than he just from the heavens. But
which
not.
Is why we start with chapter 1. Because chapter 1 tells us what about the angels. Well, what is it? Chapter 1 tells us that the angels, the heavens opened up and God's angels ascended and descended on him. So if you're really looking for truth, what is that telling you about the angels' relationship and Jesus? Who's greater?
Jesus.
How do you know that?
Because they ascended and descended on him.
They descended on him. Which means they're pointing the picture. When the Holy Spirit descends on him, and God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, what is he telling the people who have been alive, who are there, who are observing? This is my Son. There is no one else. So when a Mormon pulls out the verse, he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, he says, well, the angels did too. You're not looking at that sentence. Don't you think it's interesting? We're looking at the Gospel of John. We're talking about things we've never talked about before as we've looked through the Gospel of John. This is what topics does for us. If you look through the Gospel of John and you just look up all the places that it teaches about abide, you can come to the conclusion at the end that he who abides in Jesus never loses his salvation. Because you can't choose to abide. He's there in you. So there's all sorts of reasons to study topics.
We choose every day to abide? I'm not getting that. We choose every day to abide.
We choose to pay attention to what's already happened. We pay attention to doing the works of God, which we can't do without abiding.
Right.
Well, just go through chapter 15, look up the words abide, and talk to me about it.
All right, I will.
But if you take, this is the reason we study topics, not because we want to just do topics for the rest of our life. It's because when we study books, we tend to miss the key words. When you miss the key words, you miss what the book is about. And what would a key word be just here, so far? In the two chapters, what have we got? You've got ascended and descended as possibilities. No one will know. It's when we've gone all through the book, and it's sporadically all through the book, that we know it's a key word to the book. If we have it in one chapter or two chapters, then it's a key word to that chapter. I don't know how you can handle your coat right now.
I'm always cold.
Boiling over.
I'm perfect right now.
I got mine on.
Yeah, me too. I'm always cold.
Well, I usually am cold these days since I got old. Okay, so
when did you do that?
When I was 55, I think. I can tell you about, well, actually the worst was 2 years ago when I was in the hospital for a month. Everything shifted after that. It's like my blood went cold.
Yeah.
All right,
cancer
so,
does it too.
And what does verse 14 say? Bonnie.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Now, what do we know about that story? Because it's making a comparison.
They lifted up the serpent to stop the plague.
Well, actually, it didn't stop the plague. If we were all there, and the snakes were going around biting us, what were we supposed
to do? You had to look at them.
And when we looked at that, what happened?
We were healed.
We were healed.
We were saved. Mm-hmm. So he's making a comparison to that story. So when he makes a comparison, and the statement says, Moses lifted as, which is a comparison statement, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What does that mean?
We look to him
to save us.
To save us.
And it says in verse 15, so that
whoever believes
will have eternal life. So the comparison to the serpent and Moses.
Seems like such a weird comparison to me.
Well, but see, the Jews would have known that. Jesus would not make that comparison for us because it's not part of our history. We don't think about it. We don't, not that we don't care, we do because we're reading the Bible. But if I were hearing of God and Jesus for the first time, this is not something he would teach me about. But what is the Gospel of John? Think back for a minute here. What is the purpose of the Gospel of John?
Believing in him, you may have eternal life.
Okay, look, yes, but look at verse, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Somebody want to read it to me? Because what Grace said is the succinct answer. That answer is also here in this verse. Whoever gets it first, just go ahead and read it.
Chapter 20?
Chapter 20.
Many others. Signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe.
What have been written? What's been written?
The signs.
The signs in the Gospel of John, yes.
Right.
I have a question. It says, no one has ever gone into heaven. What about Elijah? He was taken up in a chariot, wasn't he taken?
What verse are you looking at?
Well, the John 3:13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man.
Does it say anything else?
Just as Moses lifted up the snake.
Well, I'll have to think about that one. But yeah, that's what we think happened to Elijah, is he went to be with the Father, and that's...
Yeah, because they never... His whole body disappeared.
But what we didn't see is him ascending. And that's why they think it was he who came at the transfiguration for that very reason. But how that all goes together, that's deeper theology than I get yet.
Yeah, because, well, Elisha saw him.
Right. No, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He did. I'm just saying I don't quite...
Yeah. Is that ascending to heaven, or does that mean something different?
Right, well, and Jesus ascended before he... He descended before he ascended. That's why I said pay attention to the ascended, descended.
Well, Jesus descended when he became
man.
Right.
So he
became flesh.
Right.
And then he ascended.
But it just says no one has ascended.
Right.
So.
Maybe in the Greek it says descended and ascended.
Elijah and...
Blame it on the Greeks.
No, it's not the Greek. It would
That's
be...
good to think about.
Anyway, okay, so we've got that the Son of Man was lifted up. Or did I put that? Comparisons have been... So, Son of Man was lifted up. And how was he lifted up?
Well, the Father sent him to die for the sins of the world.
How was he lifted up?
He was crucified.
He was crucified. That's the picture right there on the cross. He was lifted up. Right. And how do we respond to the cross depends on whether we have eternal life or not. Because believing at that point is believing what Jesus did is enough. Now, if I were doubting Thomas, I'm still doubting, aren't I? What am I doubting?
Well, Thomas was doubting that he had risen from the dead.
That he died. He died.
Well, Thomas knew he died. Thomas was doubting that he had risen from
right.
the dead.
That's what I mean. And so he saw him die,
right.
but didn't see him risen.
Right.
So he had to see before he could believe.
Right.
And that's a lesson to us, because we will never see that. We believe because he said it.
I know it's true. Go ahead.
I think I answered my own question.
Oh, good. Let's hear.
Well, beforehand, he's saying, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven. So basically, you've never been there, you know, and I have. So I understand the heavenly things. And you don't understand what you're living in. How would you understand heavenly things?
Yes. And Elijah did not come back to tell us what he saw.
No.
No. That's right.
So we didn't get any teaching from him.
Right.
No.
Right.
We just got the visual picture
of context.
That's what's important, having context. Another lesson.
Yeah.
Funny how we learn these things as we go, even though we could verbalize it before.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are your other questions? Did you have other questions? I don't have any of the questions, just so you guys know.
No,
what I did is give it to you. Then I realized I didn't have any of the questions.
I don't even know if it's a question.
It just says John 3.
Well, every one of them asks, or should ask, what do you learn about the Son of Man there? What did I ask you anything else?
It just has that. I don't even see a question.
Okay. On the next page?
Then it says, look for words or phrases that are repeated or change the meaning of the text where they absent. Key words. Mark that down.
Do you have any?
What do we learn about the Son of Man in these verses?
There you go. Yeah, that's the question.
How does ascended and descended rate? Yeah. And that's when I called you over because I didn't know where the
keywords here. Because what were the verses you looked at?
I wanted to look up in Exodus, I figured
you're a good thinker, and it's going to always take you longer, just so you know.
Yeah,
to
so
study.
I just skipped it until I can read the thing about it.
But I just want you
Christ.
To tell me what verses I gave you in John 3.
You gave me 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,
okay.
15.
We're going to start at 4, and I'm just going to throw some things out to you, okay? He says, verse 5.
Start at 9.
Well, I'm starting at 4.
All right.
How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time. This is the reason I'm doing this is context also. But I didn't give it to her to do, so.
Right, I just thought you said
free
words
from
this. Neighbor.
The second time his mother's womb can be born, can he? And Jesus said, and truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What word have you heard multiple times just right there? Pardon? Forget that truly.
What's so important? Hey.
Born again signs?
Born. And then it's going to be born again. So one of our key words is born. Now the next one really is only said once, so it's kind of hard to pick. But he said he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why would I use the kingdom of God as a key word since it's only used once?
Isn't it used twice?
I don't know. Where
3 and 5.
Huh?
Look in verse 3 and verse 5.
Oh, well, I didn't get to do 3, so I'll go back to 3, and maybe that would have made more sense then.
Oh, in this Bible, it's in
yeah.
4, too.
So when he starts to talk to Nicodemus, it's in verse 1 and 3, says, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he says it twice. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And as we've been studying through all of this, kingdom of God is used a lot. What did it say in Matthew rather than kingdom of God?
Kingdom of heaven?
Yeah. So if you were doing keywords through the books, you would look at that for the book of Matthew. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So how many times do we see born in there? A lot.
Yeah.
So that would not be a key word to the book.
But to the chapter.
It's to the chapter. That's exactly right. And so to understand the chapter 3, the conversation with Nicodemus, I need to be paying attention to born and born again. Because that's how I understand. And Nicodemus said to them, how can these things be? And Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand? Well, we can understand why he didn't understand, right? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know. Now, this is what he's saying to Nicodemus. He used born again to get to this. We speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Do you think testimony might be kind of an important word?
Yes. Because we know it isn't ours.
We're going to get it more.
Yep.
We're going to get witness.
I was just going to say, witness is testimony, is it not?
Well,
you're witnessing.
No, the way it's used in John, I think, is this. I am witness. I'm seeing those two in the classroom. Do you know I saw those two in the classroom? So I am witnessing it, but I'm testifying of what I have witnessed. Okay? So when we talk about Jesus, and whatever we know about Jesus, we've witnessed it. We've witnessed it personally, and I will testify to others. And it can be interchanged. They interchange them. But that's basically what it's trying to do. One is the reality of seeing. Go ahead.
This week, I knew you were going to be in John, so I just sat down and I started saying, what does John say about Jesus / Son of God, Son of Man? And I've been going through that, and this is the first time I realized what the lifting up the serpent clarified to me.
And that's how we get it. Sometimes we don't get it in the context because we're going through other things, and I might be thinking about believe or something else, but when you start tearing down the parts, you start seeing.
Right.
And you see how important it is. I would never particularly have thought of abide as important in anything except for chapter 15. But then if you go from 15 backwards and 15 forward, you start seeing abide a lot more.
Right.
So you begin to realize that it's kind of important to the book of John. It is not the only thing in the book of John. Son of Man is one of the things in the book. How many times have you ever been taught in your life how important Son of Man is? I never have.
I think it's been mentioned, but it's never been, you know.
Well, probably in the context of Jesus with both man and God.
Right.
But not why that's important.
Right. It's not like we don't know Jesus is important. We've been taught that.
Right.
So these other things are just, you know,
extra.
More information.
Yeah. Well, and it actually gives me a place to be able to pray. Because when I'm praying, like if I talk to somebody and they've got Jesus in such a place that he is so high and beyond them and they can't touch him, they can't, you know, they're just kind of not good enough. When I witnessed to my mom, and I probably was like a 3-month, 4-month old Christian, the time I really sat down with her, she said, honey, I've always wanted to be like Jesus. But I can't. I've tried. And that was the end of it for her.
That's a starting place.
Pardon?
That's a starting place.
It was, except it was the same thing she had 40 years earlier. Because nobody was able to take her from, you're not going to be like the Son of God. But the Son of Man led the path. So your job is to follow Jesus. Follow the path. Follow Jesus. And John says it over and over and over again. Other books say it too, but you don't necessarily emphasize the same way. By the way, who was reading John 20? You were, weren't you? Did you finish that? Because we never really got there.
You mean John 30?
John 20, 30, and 31.
Right. 31 wasn't finished.
Well, read 30 and 31 together again.
Okay.
Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But
so
these
he tells us there are more signs, mm-hmm. but there are signs in this book. And he did it in front of who? Says it.
These are performed in front of?
Disciples.
Okay, why would they perform it? Because they witnessed it, and now they're going to
testify.
Okay.
Want me to read it? Okay. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in that believing you may have life in his name.
There's so much chalk in there. So say that, read it again.
But these have been written that you may believe
that
Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So these test witnessings have been written to testify for us to that. And I was just thinking about Nicodemus, and when Jesus was talking to him that he had to be born again, Nicodemus was also very aware, because he was following him around, that he was doing things that were supernatural.
Which is why he said, teacher, as far as he could understand, Jesus was teacher. That was the highest compliment he could give, because what is Nicodemus?
A teacher.
He's a teacher. So he is saying, you are like I am. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not. I'm more. But he was identifying. So Nicodemus, when he saw that body there, he could identify with the body. He just didn't understand how it went with all the stuff he understood. And Jesus, instead of clarifying, confused him even more. But confusing to leading to think about it. And when he thought about it, somewhere along the line, I believe he became a believer, because he was there each important time with Jesus after that, and he stood up for Jesus. In funny ways that only another Pharisee could. Okay, so these are all things that gets us thinking. And what I started to say is I'm going to send all of these to all of you this summer. You don't ever have to look at them again. You don't have to do anything with them. It's for those of you who want to keep doing a study through the summer, just pick one a week. Okay? All right. So there's another word we have. What about there? Along with born again, what goes with that? To see Jesus as born, to be born again, we have to do what?
Believe.
Another key word to the book of John, and we know that because we looked it up in John 20, 30, and 31, and it talks about that when I show you the signs, and these are the signs I'm showing in the Gospel of John, you will believe, and in believing you will have
eternal life.
That's another one.
Boy, is it. I've been looking at that.
Okay, look at verses 19. I'm just throwing this out. Am I stretching up yet? Don't. And I know there's no E in judgment, but I put it anyway. There should be. This is actually one I knew. Okay, so verse 18, let's start 18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. So what brings on the judgment?
Not believing.
Not believing. Because he has not believed in the name. That's another one we could look up through the Bible. The name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment. That the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. What word do you think might be a little bit like a key word in this?
Light.
And what does chapter 1 say? In
the light
him
of the world.
He was the light of the world. Life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness. Go ahead, finish it.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend.
And another translation for that word is overcome. The darkness can never overcome the light.
Yeah.
So is light kind of an important word? Yes, but in specific places. And everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So what does the light do?
Exposes evil deeds.
So that's what you would do when you do a list about the light. You would read The Light Is Coming to the World. Men love darkness. And their deeds were exposed, for they were evil.
And then the contrast is the next verse.
Which is?
But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God.
And so, again, keeping that in mind, what does verse 18 say? He who believes is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Where are they judged on?
Not seeing on their deeds. Believing or not believing.
Right? And what are they believing on?
The Son of Man.
Well, here it says the only begotten Son of God, but it's both. It's either, it said it in different places. Okay, so.
But believing, here it's indicating that believing is more than just a word.
Right.
It's a practice.
Right.
That you practice the truth. If you believe the truth, you practice the truth.
And you come to the light.
You know, you don't, you say, search me, O God. You know. You want those things to be
exposed. Because we do have evil things going on there, and sometimes we don't even know it. But I don't want you going around going, oh, let God expose it. He does. Don't you focus on that, because you can't do anything about it, but he can. And you can come to him. That you can do. That's what the point of all of it is to come to him. Come to him and believe. When he's exposed or shown something about himself or you, believe and go forward on that. But when you carry a weight, you're carrying what only he can carry. Okay. Anything else in that, Bonnie?
I just try not to copy.
Okay. Okay, chapter 5. Who has chapter 5 of God? And what in verse 27 did we learn about the Son of Man?
He gave him authority to execute judgment.
So God gave him authority.
Matches ours.
Why is that? What does that even mean to us with what we've read so far?
It wasn't of himself, it was from God.
Yeah, but what about the executing judgment? What does that tell us? We saw this a lot when we were going through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. God had given him the authority. Mm-hmm. Who executes judgment?
God.
Only God. And those he gives it to. And in this case,
the Son of Man.
The Son of Man. Then he says, do not marvel, for an hour is coming in which those who are in the tomb will hear his voice and come forth, those to good deeds to the resurrection of life, those committed evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. Now that little verse there, 29, why? How is that important to what we're studying? What value, when Jesus looks at us, what is he looking for?
Well, he's first looking for belief, that if we really believe, then we will do what he wants, and yeah, there will be good deeds.
So it will be deeds. He's going to look at the deeds, right? And if he sees good deeds, where is that going to end up?
It says that resurrection of life.
To the resurrection of life. And evil deeds?
To the resurrection of judgment.
And who is he given the authority to execute judgment?
Son of Man.
And Jesus says, I can do nothing. Now, if you stop at verse 29 and go, wow, huge authority. He can just do whatever he wants. But that isn't what it says. Verse 30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why?
Because he's seeking the will of the one who sent him.
Not
his own will.
So does that apply to us?
Of course.
It applies to us. If we stand on the word of God, that is the authority. Not anything we do, not any powerful voice, not any great words, not anything you think that you have that's any importance at all. None of us have anything that's important except for what we witnessed. And that includes, if God says do this, then you are a witness to what he is saying for you to do. So what authority do you stand on? Him. Exactly.
And as long as we're not seeking our own will. As long as we're not seeking our own will.
That's the point. And if somebody can't find what I say you're supposed to do in the Bible, what does that tell you?
False.
What authority am I drawing you to?
Yours.
Your own. My own. Myself. The authority is the Bible. So if somebody tells you to do something that God told them that you're to go do something or be something or whatever, what can you know? Do you not have the Holy Spirit?
We do have the Holy Spirit.
Can the Holy Spirit not tell you?
The Holy Spirit can tell you, and He will.
That's the point.
So
this is not.
I think the bigger point here is that we're looking for the Father's will, not our own. So we're not looking for Joe Blow's will,
right?
You know, that told us that God said to do this. We're looking for the Father's will.
That can be so confusing for people who go and walk in a movement that says, I can get words from God. Fine. Do they line up to the word of God?
No.
If they do not. Because if somebody is sinning, and you go to them about their sin, and you stand back and just show them what God's word says, what is the authority?
The word. God's word.
Is it your initiative?
No.
It may be your initiative to do it now, and God is saying, wait, because He has a time for it. Okay?
Good example of that. I don't remember the prophet's names, but one prophet was sent to talk to the king, and he was told not to eat or drink in that place, but to go home. And then the old prophet heard that he was there, so he lied to him and said, God told me.
Yep.
So he went back with him instead of asking God.
And he died.
Yeah, he died. Yeah.
We saw that.
Yeah, we did.
Just a couple of lessons ago.
I was surprised he didn't kill the old prophet, too.
Yeah.
Lying. That's a mystery. He
was testing the prophet.
Well, I don't think that old prophet was a prophet. I think he was of the evil one, to tell you the truth. Yeah. And when you read the rest of it, it doesn't really... He had a... It's like us having a gospel that adds things.
Yeah.
And if it's a different hand we're under when we do that, we're at the point of evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. That's where they are. And everybody who does that is evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. But if it is God's prophet, God will deal with us differently. God will deal with teachers differently. When He says that their teachers will incur a stricter judgment, I take that very seriously. And the only way I can stand up here is to make sure I'm not saying my stuff. And to say to you, I've been thinking about this, and this is what I've been thinking. It's not God's word, it's not in His word, but this is the way I've been trying to understand this verse. Then you know the source of what I'm saying is not God yet, but me. Because I can speculate, but I can't walk on speculation. I cannot teach you speculation. You cannot listen to speculation and weigh it out the same as God's word.
Well, we're all supposed to be good Bereans and study it out ourselves anyway, because, you know, you can talk to two godly teachers and they'll have a difference of opinion.
Yes.
So they'll say, this is how you should believe, this is how you should believe.
Well,
we need to look ourselves and let the Holy Spirit teach us.
Be responsible. And that is chapter Acts
2. What is it?
17.
17, okay. I knew it was there.
And that goes right into the section.
I knew it was there.
It goes right into the section where we read that part about Paul speaking before Athens to a people who didn't know him and talked about the man he knew who resurrected from the dead without using Jesus' name. So that's all in that same area. Well, if I can do nothing on my own initiative, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which He gives about me is true. Did you guys get to that question?
Yeah.
What did you determine?
Let's see. Well, the two questions we had is...
Okay.
Look for the repeated phrases, things that are absent, and keywords. And for this, we got testimony, believe, Father. And then the key phrase was testify about me. That was in there a lot.
Okay.
And then what do we learn about the Son of Man in these verses? How can we trust that His judgment is just? And Anne's going to read that.
Okay. The Father sent Him. He has life in Himself. his authority to execute judgment, but can do nothing on his own initiative. His judgment is just. He does not seek his own will, but the Father's. He doesn't testify about himself because the Father testifies about him.
Go ahead.
His testimony is greater than John the Baptist. He accomplishes the works his Father gave him. His works testify about him. The scriptures also testify about him. He doesn't receive glory from men. It came in his Father's name. He doesn't accuse us before the Father. And for how can we trust his judgment is just? We put down because he does not. Because he does the will of the Father and he's obedient to the Father.
Well, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good job. She's been trained from the beginning. Because it is funny, I have noticed the kids that we've trained in the inductive method from the time they first started being able to read do this beyond what any of us adults can do, because that's the way they've learned to think. Good job.
Cool. Yeah.
You had one thing in there I wanted to ask about, not because there was a question, but because I thought it'd be a good point. But all of that is what you would put under a list of about the Son of Man. And I gave you some cross references, didn't I? Or did I? No?
Oh. No, that's where you got it from, the American Standard Bible. Maybe, unless, is it John 5:33-47? No, that's what we have. So I don't know. That's just where the verses are from.
Okay. So again, all of that, which I'm not going to write, because that was more than I had room for, all of that would go here about the Son of Man. Because he says, because he is the Son of Man. And then he goes into saying, I can do nothing. God gave him the authority to execute judgment. All who are in tombs will be resurrected to good deeds, to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. And on what basis are they going to be judged? And you could put this down, too, as key words. Deeds, I would put deeds, and resurrection of life and of judgment. That would be something you'd want. Even though it's not mentioned a lot of times, it is mentioned and it's pretty important, isn't it? Now, we do have judgment already as one of our words, but this talks about what kind of judgment. There is a judgment of good deeds that goes to a resurrection of life. So that's a good judgment. We like that. But there's also a judgment that goes evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment itself. And Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. So at this point, we have Jesus is the one who's going to judge, and he's going to judge on the authority of his Father. I say that because we're going to get angels judging in a ways in this book, and we need to see what the shift is and why. Okay?
Because it's interesting in verse 45.
Which I don't have here, so
he said, do not think I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses.
Right.
Because so even though he's executing judgment, he's not the one accusing them.
And what is it the basis of, therefore? If he's talking about Moses, what is the basis of
Moses judgment? Spoke about him, and that was the next verse, because if you believe Moses, you believe me, because he wrote about me. So that's right. That's all.
And what would be the criteria or the guideline for judging, if we're talking about Moses?
Believe.
He talked about Jesus.
Uh-huh. Well, Moses gave the law.
The law.
Right.
And is the law evil?
No. It's a tutor.
It's a tutor that leads us to Christ. It's good. It's righteous. Mm-hmm. But we can't follow it,
right.
Which for us makes it evil. But it isn't really evil. It's good.
They thought they depended on it. So
right.
We came up with a list of six things that they were unwilling. So the first was, in verse 38, that they wouldn't believe. The second was they were unwilling to come to him. The third was they didn't have the love of God. The fourth was they didn't receive him. And the fifth was they didn't seek glory that comes from God. And the sixth was they were blind to the truth. They were faithless and self-deceived. So
I am duly impressed.
You know, there you go.
There you go.
That's
okay.
Why.
Do we have to answer?
You only have to sound like that if you've,
sorry.
Been, if you've been studying that way since you were how old?
We were just having fun, weren't we?
I don't know how.
When you start reading, she read too early, too. She was reading like books after books after. You gave her a book and she. I gave you guys to read, I think what you borrowed from Lauren, these books that are that big and that wide, and they were back to me, like 12 of them, the life stuff, was back in a week. Okay.
She kind of devoured them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way she's read. She is an avarice reader.
That's great.
Okay.
I'm a horrible reader.
So, yeah, just make sure you keep your eyes strong. John 6. Okay. And we're not expecting you to sound like Frank. Evidently, you have to be young to sound like her.
No.
I don't think it was there for you anyway, so don't worry about it. First question, though, I'm going to ask is, talking about Jesus, what did you learn about the Son of Man? What verse is that in?
Okay, this is verse 27. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man to give to you. Oh, yeah, the Father said so. So, believing in the Son of Man, you receive eternal life.
Okay, so. He gives, so we would say, because it's about him, he gives eternal life. And, anywhere else? Would you read that verse again?
Mm-hmm. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life.
Okay.
Which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, the Son of Father God has set his seal. So God has set his seal on that. God.
Okay, and that would be about God, so I'm not going to write it. Okay, good. And there's another one.
And then the other one was
it's in verse 53.
Yeah. Okay, and it said, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself.
So, what is the flesh?
And drink the blood, and the flesh is his body. And it talks about his blood.
Now, what is he talking about here? It sounds gross. What is the flesh? What is it just above that? Start at verse
47, I think it is.
How about 47? Start at 41.
41?
Yeah.
Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is this not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, his father and mother, we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Everyone who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. So it kind of says, you know, they perish. This is the bread which comes out of heaven so that no one may eat it and not die.
Okay, before we go any further, there's a comparison. Anybody can add to this. There's a comparison being made about Jesus to the manna. What's the comparison? What is the picture? And what manna are we talking about?
Well,
this is allergies, by the way. None of you are sick. Going to be sick.
Was it the manna in the wilderness?
Uh-huh. What is that?
And
God's gift
from God.
God's provision.
God's provision.
Is their sustenance. Their day in, day out sustenance.
I thought that in verse 26, that kind of came up to me when I was reading that. Jesus answered. answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, they were looking to the signs and not because they were filled. I thought that sentence kind of came up to me today. So
what were they expecting the signs to do? Now, I'm asking you this because this is another one I think is confusing.
Well, they probably thought the signs were there.
What did the Jews want the signs?
So they wanted proof, you know. We don't want to have faith. We don't want to have to believe.
Did they not have signs before this?
They did have signs.
Constantly. But John 20 tells us he gave the signs for what purpose? What you just said, for us to believe.
I think that's why Nicodemus even came to him, because he saw the signs. And that's why he could say, teacher, I know you're sent from God, because of the signs.
So why are they still asking for signs?
Because they don't learn.
Because they don't believe.
They don't really want to believe.
So they're not looking for the signs to lead them to who Christ is. They're looking at the signs for entertainment.
Exactly.
You can do the same thing, and I think the church today does. Or at least the so-called church today. I think there are huge, big churches that prey on people's blindness and give a lot of, if you want to call them signs, I think, and trust me here, I'm not saying there isn't such a gift as speaking in tongues. I do think there is one. But that's a whole different class, and we've already studied it. But I do think people look for speaking in tongues as a sign that says, you know, get y'all excited about God's here. I'm sorry. Most of that is not. It's not following a biblical path of how to do this. So, can people be deceived? Yes, they can be deceived by signs. The signs do not necessarily come from God. You have to go back to who is the authority and where is the authority, right? And where is the initial authority?
Christ and the Word. Through the Word.
That's the second authority. What's
God.
The initial authority? God.
God.
It's God who gives the authority to Jesus. And we know that the Word of God is God's Word, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, he sent signs so that they would believe. But I think later on even, there were so many signs, but they still refused to believe. And so they were using signs like, give us another sign.
Yeah, this was fun.
Not even just that, it was that they didn't want to believe. And it's like, so they're like rationalizing why they're not believing. You didn't give us another sign. You didn't give the right sign. You didn't give, you know, prove it. They didn't want to believe.
As we're in chapter 6, what is one of the keywords we're seeing? That's one.
Believe.
What are they calling Jesus?
Bread.
The bread of life.
Bread
what
of life.
Have they just gone through? They've gone through one of those feedings of the 4,000 or 5,000. So what
the
are
sign.
They considering the sign? What sign did they want?
More stuff.
Who? We want to be fed. We're not looking for he who gave the sign, but for the sign itself. Just like, you know, if I... Go ahead, Grace.
Isn't that what he said in 26?
Go ahead and read it.
Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because of the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.
Yeah, exactly. We have to do that ourselves. When we come to him in prayer and we're praying for something, are we praying because it is a need or is it because we want something? It's the same thing. They wanted to be fed. They wanted. They were ready, actually, when he came in they were ready to make him king. Because if they made him king, what did they think was going to happen?
Bye-bye, Romans.
Pardon?
Bye-bye, Romans.
One. That's right.
He was going to establish his kingdom on earth.
Right. Two. And what would the king do? Because they've seen him do it. He would feed them. He didn't have to work anymore.
Yeah. Well, and provide, you know, relief from tyranny and oppression, taxation.
And health problems and all the above.
Raise him from the dead.
Minor things like that. Raising him from the dead. They heard about Lazarus, you know, not there because that's in 11. But
sounds like they had it.
So they're beginning to see Jesus as the cosmic genie. And he keeps saying, it's not the signs. It's not the signs. It's not the signs. And yet the signs are pointing to them.
Right.
Because who else would God give that to? Mm-hmm. You can't do it unless God is with you.
Because he gave the authority, and therefore, exactly. Well, and then we can look at, and the Jews, when they think about signs, what do they think about in their heritage?
Moses and the serpent?
Moses, well, even past that. How about getting out of Egypt?
Leading them out
of the fire.
Because those are signs.
And they had false prophets and tricksters and people who said they could do things. And
they could.
Yeah.
If you've ever read the history on them, they could do part of those things. But what was it always drawing people to? Themselves. There's all sorts of books on that, and we're not going to do it now. Okay, so anything else you guys wanted to add to it for us about 6? Where does the bread come from, verse 50?
The Father.
It does, but read it. 50 and 51, yeah. What does it say?
This is the bread which comes down out of heaven.
Which is, if I were going to condense it to one word, what would I say?
He is the bread.
He is the bread, and he descended. It's another way of saying descended.
And then I like 51, I am the living bread.
Right. Which is why we have the bread of life, isn't it? And that's what goes all the way back to John 1. All right. There's so much more we could get out of this, and we have 5 minutes. we didn't even touch Matthew 24. Okay. I don't know. What verse is 6 did I give you? Anything you want to add, maybe on verses 60 through 65?
Emphasizes that the Son of Man ascended.
And when he says ascending,
he will go in the Spirit.
Is that you?
The Spirit, yeah. As well.
So when he says it was before, what is he telling them?
It
came from there. And it's the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. And the words he spoke are Spirit and life. So Jesus gives the word that is Spirit and life. That also fits on there. And then he kind of makes an indictment. But there are some who do not believe. Where Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who would not believe, who did not believe. And who would betray him. And he was saying, and I love this one. For this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me, what?
Unless
it is granted. Unless it is granted from the Father. So who is Jesus always pointing to?
The Father.
He's not pointing to himself. He's pointing to the Father.
And you have the results in the next verse.
Yes. Okay, chapter 8. We could start there. Pick it up next week. Finish off, Lord willing. Can we never finish off? Who has John 8?
I have John 8.
Okay, tell me what you found. What were the verses that we looked at in John 8?
12 through 32.
First question is, what did we learn about the Son of Man in verse 28?
Oh, verse 28.
Yeah.
When you look at the Son of Man, then you will know that I am.
Right.
And I do nothing on my own initiative, but speak these things the Father's taught me.
Okay.
That's okay.
Didn't get that one.
Well, that was actually... I didn't put that in your questions, Leela. I'm just sort of doing that to add to our list here.
Oh, okay.
So you go ahead and with what questions you had.
Well, I just was going verse by verse, and I just, from 12, mm-hmm. I am the light of the world.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So he's the light of the world.
Okay. I better not do that.
When we do the Son of Man, it is to go forward and backwards from there to see what we learned about Jesus. So you started there. That's good.
Okay.
What do we know? We actually have this down on the boards from a different things. But if we follow the light of the world, what does that tell us about us? Same verse, 12.
12? Oh. It's about walking in darkness, but we'll have the light of life.
So if we follow Jesus, we don't walk in darkness, and we have
light.
We have the light of life. The light of life. That's kind of important. Pharisees said you're testifying about yourself, so your testimony is not true. What did Jesus say in verse 14?
Okay. He says, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going.
And then he says to the Pharisees, verse 15.
Okay, you judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. He's not judging anyone.
But if he was judging, his judgment would be true. Why? According to verse 16.
Right.
Who sent him?
Verse
16.
Okay. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me.
So what did we just learn about him there? Who sent him?
God. His Father.
Father sent him. And that's the descending thing.
That's descending.
That's descending, yeah. Because he's already there, so he's descending because the Father sent him. Let's see if there's anything else. How about verse 17?
Go
ahead.
Even if your law has been written, but the testimony of two men is true. I don't understand that.
What he's saying is, sentence. In the law it's written that if you're going to have witnesses, you need two, not just one.
Okay.
That's why when Jesus was being brought before the Sanhedrin, they had two witnesses, even though they were lying, but because there were two of them, they had made a pact.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus was indicted on that statement of two.
Okay.
Okay, so here it
says. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me.
And how did we see God testify?
Through his works. His works.
Through the signs, through his word, but we saw.
But that means that.
The Spirit.
That means the Pharisees weren't seeing who he really was.
Right, exactly. Even though when Jesus was baptized by John, the love was seen. They all heard it.
And they saw the dove landing on him. And God
I'm pretty sure if I were there, even if I went there as a doubter, I would walk away as a believer. Because there's a very big voice coming out of God only knows where. And they did not have the musical enhancements that we have today. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus really hadn't done a lot before that. That was the beginning of his testifying of the Father about himself before the people.
I thought we just read something earlier that said, I don't testify.
Exactly. That's why I did this. he said, if. He didn't say I do, but he said, if I do, it's correct, because we're both God, basically, is what he's saying. He's just telling them, if he does that, he does that. If God's testifying, isn't God enough? Isn't God enough? That's kind of the point. And Jesus says, my testimony, whatever I testify of, is exactly what the Father has said. Mm-hmm. So if the Father said it, I will testify what he said. He's not standing on his own authority here.
Okay.
We already know his authority is from the Father. And that is the end of that turn off the machine.